In Psalm 107, we hear, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories, those he has redeemed from the foe. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way, till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast, for his unfailing love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories, those he has redeemed from the foe." This morning we would ask that Pastor Dan share stories from his congregation so that we may rejoice in what the Lord has done for us this day.
As I put my shoes back on, I do rejoice that the Bible doesn't say much about pants. Thank you for listening. We'll be here all week. I do find, as you look at the weather today, wondering why it's raining. Well, when we have banners that say grace like rain and the resource is drops from the well, I think we have some idea why it's wet outside. We might want to look at imagery of sunshine for the next Missions Festival. Last night I got ready to go to sleep and I thought, gosh, Henry Graff, I don't know him, I've never met him. Look forward to meeting him today as I'd be following him. Where'd you sit down, Henry? I didn't see where you went. Is he still in the room? Apparently not. Turns out we met in a parking lot last night at 12:30. Same hotel. Seems something cruel to have two pastors who were up in the middle of the night with fire trucks and smoke on the first floor to lead off this morning. Jenny, thank you. There's something a little torturous about that, but we are here. My late father, I have images of him kneeling beside a swimming pool. I was always the one as a child that wanted to go to the low board back when we were allowed to have diving boards, or even to the high board if I could get permission, and just wanted to jump right in. Remember cannonballs and can openers, and you know, our kids think those are just utensils in the drawers rather than things you do in a pool. But my father would always kneel alongside the swimming pool, and it's kind of hard to do this. Let's see if this works. And he would just get a little water on his hands, and then he'd get a little more on his arms, and then he'd get some water up to his face, and then some on his shoulders, and some on his chest, until every part of his body had some water on it. And I remember wondering, Dad, why do you do that? Just jump in, like I do. Just jump in from the side or from the board. Well, I'm thankful that to say that my father would ultimately then end up in the pool or in the lake or whatever body of water, but he just did it gradually. And that image for me is sort of a parable or an analogy of how I see congregations and some pastors and some parishioners as we're in that together, how we approach the Word of God. Some jump right in, others just want to dabble a little bit, and others, as they dabble and dabble and dabble, finally become fully immersed, while others stop somewhere along the way with just their hands wet or their arms wet or their faces wet. And as a denomination that primarily sprinkles, that's understandable. But God does call us to be immersed in His Word. Rather than just tell you about my father's aquatic strategies, I just want you to know that when a pastor is obedient to God's leading, and a congregation obedient to the pastor's leading, You can, in a matter of a couple of years, become fully immersed in the Word of God. I'm 62 years old. I was ordained in 1979 and realized that much of my ministry had little to do with making disciples. I don't blame the seminary. I don't blame my family. That's just the way it is. And when we began to talk about discipleship and move into partnership with the Navigators, I thought, you know, I've got about a handful of years left. I can ride this out. Thankful that I didn't. Thankful that I'm not. I'm thankful that our congregation in Springfield, Ohio, I'm the senior pastor there in my 29th year, slow learner, very patient congregation. I'm dean of the Southwest Ohio Mission District, thankful and proud to be trusted with that as well. As we began to talk about discipleship, it's been wonderful now to see how that's been lived out and how that's being lived out. We're just getting started. We're just sort of kneeling by the pool. I don't know how far wet we are, but the plan is we're going to be fully immersed before long. The language of discipleship has become a part of my preaching, part of our Bible studies, part of our Christian education. But I look at what I have done over the years or what God has attempted to do through me, and I realize that even our language doesn't or hasn't contributed toward an emphasis of discipleship. Everything had to do with education. Sunday school classes, just Sunday school. Where's our class meeting? Who's the teacher? Then you might hire somebody for staff that's a Christian education director. And then we have Bible studies. And it seemed to be so much about information and so little about transformation or application. We call it our church Bible study junkies. We have people that will come to every Bible study that we offer throughout the week. And then you ask, what are you going to do with that? Well, we're looking forward to the next one. You know, there's some temptation to say, we're not going to have any Bible studies for about 2 weeks. Just do something with what you've already learned. A dear pastor friend of mine who now has passed forward used to not come to events like this or thinks events of similarity because he'd say, Dan, I already know how to be a better pastor than I am. Boy, that's great insight. Yeah, don't just keep coming to events to learn more. Do more. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, as we have been reminded. I prepared church council devotions. We have 12 council members, and so each member would take a month. And as I prepared to present that theme last November to our council for the present year, one of our council members, who is one of our leaders in our disciple-making ministry, said, Pastor, with all due respect, could we maybe just, rather than each council member having 1 month and then they might not be doing much else the other 11, could we just begin meetings by saying, what's God saying to you in his word since we were last together? And council members were saying, well, yeah, but who's scheduled? Who's up in January and who's up in February? I said, you are. Which one? January, February, and March, and April, and May, and June. And now in our council meetings, people are sharing what God's word is saying to them and how they're living it out, rather than just planning a devotion. Just a slight change, but a rather dramatic impact. We have three pastors at our church. In 1 month's time, one of the pastors' mothers, her mother was placed into a nursing home, 93 years old. Pretty traumatic, pretty dramatic. Another pastor, his 39-year-old son-in-law, died of a massive brain aneurysm. This pastor's daughter miscarried in her first pregnancy. All in about a 4-week period of time, the leadership of our church was being rocked. We believe that Satan was working mightily in an attempt to take down the leadership. It was about 10 of 8 on a Sunday morning. One of our council members, who is also leading a leader in our discipleship ministry, came into the sacristy and said, I woke up during the night and I just felt led to Is there some way that we can pray for the pastors today in worship? Would that be appropriate? I said, well, that'd be wonderful. That'd be appropriate. What do you have in mind? He said, I'm not sure. I said, well, maybe when we come in the liturgy to the prayer of the church, you could come up if you want to. And he said, yeah, that'd be good. And then we'll just pray, because you folks are always praying for us. Now, again, a lay leader asking, is it appropriate to pray for the pastors? Something about a culture that even evokes that question causes me a little concern. Can you imagine saying, oh, no, please don't. You know, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, it came time in the prayer of the church, and I said, Mark Klopfenstein is his name. I said, he's asked for the opportunity to come up and lead the congregation in prayer for the pastors. And he came up and went to the microphone, and he said, I'd like the pastors to kneel at the communion railing. And as we did, then he said, I'd like to share with you some of what's going on in the lives of our pastors, their personal lives. And he said, I'd like to invite then the congregation, whoever wishes, to come forward and lay your hands on the pastors. Well, our backs were to the congregation. All we heard were the sounds of people getting up out of the chairs and the pews and coming forward. And all of a sudden, the weight of dozens of hands on each of our heads and shoulders. And then Mark led the congregation in prayer. And the pastors wept. And one is weeping now. I had no idea how many people had come up. We had our backs to them, eyes closed. And as we stood up, we turned around, and two-thirds of the congregation, for us, that's probably 200 people, had come and in some way linked hands and shoulders and heads and arms to pray for their pastors. And the third of the congregation that didn't come up, I don't take that personally. I think they realized, this is about as close as we're going to get. We might as well stay in our seats. And they prayed too. How wonderful to have a lay leader be obedient and listening to the Word of God, and then to do something with that. Not just say, well, gosh, that seemed like that might have been a good idea. Maybe we'll have a committee or a task force, and we'll bring a proposal to the council, and then we'll discuss it, and next month we'll have... This comes into the sacristy and says, I'd never done this before, could I? And he did. That's the kind of ministry that we are experiencing at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Springfield. As I am learning and becoming more of a disciple of Jesus Christ and following him, and I'm more confident than ever before that if people lean to my leadership, together we will meet Jesus. And after all, what else is there? Thank you for this opportunity.